In 3, 2, 1. When city manager Bob Wolting presented his proposed $16 million budget to the council, he asked for about $400,000 for new equipment. But this will only make a dent in what is needed. The reason for this is the city hasn't had any money to spend on new equipment lately. The newest equipment the Public Works Department has is two graders they bought through the state 4 years ago. And now the effort and price tag to keep an aging fleet operational is on the rise. Public Works Director Dave Jacoby.
Most of our equipment, such as our dump trucks, have over 100,000 miles on them. Garbage trucks have over 14,000 hours, which if you were to equate that according to the national standards, for every hour it is 30 miles driven. So we can take those trucks to the moon and back. The fire equipment is well over its useful life. We're keep patching and patching and patching the parts and pieces together to keep things running.
Jacoby says all the city's equipment was triple shifted last year when a record 147 inches of snow fell. Some of the equipment, he says, is borderline right now. And if Fairbanks has another record snowfall, Public Works will be in trouble. Vehicle maintenance supervisor Dave Gary says keeping the fire department going is no small task either. Some equipment is so old, parts are custom made, piece by piece, as they break down.
It bothers me. It bothers me. For instance, engine 3, the water jacket's eroded through the block. It has an epoxy patch. I would hate, more than hate, to have somebody's life on the line on that when you really started working that engine hard and we would lose that patch. It's a tanker. It's on a back reserve right now. But that's just one example. Their command vehicle, it's an 80 Ford van. It's ready. It's had two engine replacements. It's currently ready for its third. It's got thousands and thousands of hours on it.
Gary says the newest engines the fire department has are now 9 years old, and the price tag for a new fire truck can be $500,000. The city manager wants to buy new equipment over the next 7 years. That's about when he figures he could catch up with current needs. And Director Jacoby says he's also looking for alternatives to buying equipment. Nowadays, he says, some big cities are leasing what they need. But for now, he has no other solutions but more money to solve his problems. Reporting for KUAC, I'm Nellie Moore. In 3, 2, 1. The council spent several hours going... In 3, 2, 1. The council spent several hours going over City Manager Bob Wolting's proposed budget, and by the time they finished making adjustments, it had grown by $143,155. That's how much they'll have to cut out of the budget by next Monday to balance with what their projected revenues are expected to be. In one amendment, Councilman Mike Andrews took about $65,000 set aside for overtime in the police department and turned it into another police position. And he wants to do the same thing in the fire department, converting $100,000 in overtime into two firefighting positions. The council eliminated 4% pay raises for department heads and added a custodian in the public works budget. But they cut $111,000 the city manager wanted for tourism-related improvements in the city. That's money Wolting hoped to get from the hotel-motel tax, which the council pretty much left alone from last year. The Convention and Visitors Bureau will get the biggest chunk of that. The budget must come in at $16,234,842 in order to balance with projected revenues. The council is expected to take final action in a special meeting Monday night, just a week before a special election, asking voters if the city should levy a 1% sales tax. For KUAC, I'm Nellie Moore.
Included that is the net result of all of the amendments and motions and so forth. We now have a budget of $16,511,166, which is inclusive of the $234,000. This is preliminary. That's about 2.5 acres at 15th and Gillum, and it's for low-income housing. I don't recall the exact number of units that were to be built there. And we've gone through soil testing and so forth, and it appears that the sale is imminent and that we will settle on that. And that's where the $234,000 came from after an appraisal of the property.
Okay.
In 3, 2, 1, anticipating the sale of 2.5 acres of land to the Alaska State Housing Authority, the council added $234,000 to the revenue picture for next year. City Manager Bob Wolting says the result is a $16.5 million budget. The final figure, he says, came from what the sale will be worth to the city.
We've gone through soil testing and so forth, and it appears that the sale is imminent and that we will settle on that. And that's where the $234,000 came from after an appraisal of the property.
The property at 15th and Gillum will be used by ASHA for low-income housing. Left in the budget were amendments that reduced overtime in the Public Safety Department to fund 2 firefighting and 1 police position. The city budget now comes in at $117,000 below anticipated revenues. The council left those funds undesignated. Until the city came up with a plan to use the funds from the land sale, the council had been trying to balance an amended budget that had exceeded revenues by about $143,000. Reporting for KUAC, I'm Nellie Moore. Okay, in 3, 2, The council spent several hours going over City Manager Bob Wolting's proposed budget Monday night. By the time they finished making adjustments, it had increased by $143,155. That's how much you'll have to cut out of the budget by next Monday to balance with what their projected revenues will be. Today, city officials are still going over amendments proposed by council members to see what the budget now looks like. In one amendment, Councilman Mike Andrews took about $65,000 Wolting allotted for overtime in the police department and turned it into another police position. And he wants to do the same thing in the fire department, converting $100,000 in overtime into 2 firefighting positions. Councilman Bob Sundberg added in about $30,000 for medical and retirement benefits for the council. Right now, the council can take advantage of the benefits, but not enough money was budgeted for that item. Sundberg says this brings the city council in line with the borough assembly, most of whom are covered by medical and retirement benefits. The council eliminated 4% pay raises for department heads and added in a custodian position for the Public Works Department. But they cut $111,000 in money the city manager wanted to spend for tourism-related improvements in the city. That's money Wolting hoped to get from the hotel-motel tax, which the council pretty much left alone from last year. The Convention and Visitors Bureau will still get 70% of the tax, and the Industrial Development Corporation will get about $130,000. City Finance Director Barbara Konieczny says the budget needs to come in at $16,234,842 in order to balance with projected revenues. The council is expected to take final action on the budget in a special meeting Monday night, just a week before a special election, asking voters if the city should levy a 1% sales tax. Reporting for KUAC, I'm Nellie Moore.
So what we are building for our businesses here in town to compete with is on either end of Airport Way is a tax-free shopping area. So you have the people from Mileson and from Fort Greenlee who drive to Fairbanks who can pull into Fort Wainwright and shop without a tax. And then they can motor on down Airport Way and they can go to Fred Meyer's and the Prince's Tours, who doesn't have to pay a bed tax or a liquor tax or a sales tax. They can eat at Pike's Landing, which doesn't charge a liquor tax, 5%, or a sales tax, and return, and all they leave in Fairbanks is 2 tire tracks in the snow. who, the first group is obviously the business people, who not only see this as a source of unfair competition, but a harassment in the fact that it costs them a fortune. The other group of people is, of course, the group of people whose jobs depend on small business in the city, and that's 60% of the city's population who work for private industry. Most of these people make only $20,000 or $25,000 a year, and they resent having to pay 2 or 3% of their income to give raises to a group of people that already make 3 or 4 times what they make.
Okay, in 3, 2, 1. Voters in Fairbanks on Tuesday will decide the fate of a 1% sales tax, and pro and anti-tax groups are coming out of the woodwork, courting voters, most of whom have turned down taxes several times. The big surprise in the campaign came Thursday morning when Mayor Wayne Nelson made his announcement.
Actually, and it'll probably be a surprise to quite a few people, I'm coming out in favor of the sales tax.
Nelson says while the city council was able to write a balanced budget this week, he's hearing dissatisfaction with the level of services the city has to offer. He says a major factor in his turnaround was progress in negotiations with the fire department and concessions made by the police department. The city had made huge cutbacks in both departments when overtime and high salaries brought public criticism. And this fall, Nelson had called the firemen greedy. But now, he says, with labor concessions, he thinks the lines of communication are opening up.
It's a big turnaround, and one of the things that I, about the only thing I promised when I was running for election, was to try and change attitudes and to get some trust going. And I think that hopefully this is a step in that direction on both sides.
City Finance Director Barbara Konecny says a 1% sales tax would bring the city an estimated $3.4 million in revenue, while it would cost only about $80,000 to administer. And the mayor has some ideas about what needs could be met with that money.
I would think that the best uses would be equipment and training.
Yeah, there are plugins. It's all out. There are plugins.
Opening new fire stations as opposed to using it for hard things as opposed to just straight operating stuff, where it's more an investment for the future than it is just frittered away.
He says even though some businesses view the tax as unfair, he thinks it's the only way the city can improve services to its residents. Reporting for KUAC, I'm Nellie Moore. Reporting from Fairbanks, I'm Nellie Moore. In 3, 2, 1. Nearly 4,000 votes were cast. 2,600 of them were against the sales tax. One citizens group that supported the sales tax called itself People Who Really Care About Fairbanks. Spokesman Richard Seward says voters made it clear they think a sales tax is regressive and gives businesses outside the city limits an unfair advantage. But Seward believes his group successfully got out the message that the city needs more revenues.
I think the people of Fairbanks have become aware that you have to wait in line for ambulance service, that the potholes need to be fixed, that we've got to come together and increase revenues for the city. Other ideas have come up through this campaign, largely because of People Who Care for Fairbanks pushing for increased revenues, an employment tax in the city, other forms of taxation. We've got to pull together as a community, increase revenues, and take care of ourselves. It's the Alaskan way. Sales tax is regressive. People don't want to do it. Fine. Now let's look to positive solutions.
Seward says it's time for the city council to make the tough decisions to do what's right for the city. The council will certify the results of the election at its January 13th meeting. For KUAC News, I'm Nellie Moore. In Fairbanks, I'm Nellie Moore.
It's proven over and over in those schools where you have a strong parent involvement that they have good test scores, that they have, they have successful schools. And I'm not saying test scores is everything, But this is what you're going to notice, because the kids see a connection between the school and the parent and how all of it works together, and it brings success, as we look at success in education.
Fairbanks School Board member Sandra Henricks says there are many ways for parents to get involved in their children's education through local parent-teacher organizations, by volunteering at school, and by keeping an open line of communication with your child's teachers. But Henricks also says schools may alienate people, not on purpose, but because they're a bureaucracy. She says schools can get rid of that image, like in areas where there needs to be more parent involvement. For example, if she were a principal at an in-town school, she'd make more personal contact with families.
I would go around that neighborhood and I would knock on those doors and introduce myself and talk to those parents and definitely talk to the kids. I would open up my school after school and even try to do it before school and try to have support program for those parents.
On parent involvement, the president of the Fairbanks-based Regional Native Corporation agrees. Doyon President Morris Thompson says parents need to make sure that teachers understand the needs of Native students.
The educational system is like any other public institution. The more public input it has, the more attuned it is, and that would be true too for Native voices. Teachers, administrators just can't assume that they know the needs and desires and demands of the Native community unless we voice them.
But the concerns of Native parents aren't being voiced as much as they could be. In a recent survey of parents of Native children, the Indian Education Program asked what it should be doing. Less than 10% of the surveys were returned. Almost twice the number of teachers responded to the questionnaire. For the early elementary grades, parents and teachers agreed. Work on reading, writing, and math skills. But their fourth choice was different. Native parents want reinforcement of Native identity, but teachers want improved English-speaking skills. Johnny David and his wife Nancy live here in Fairbanks, but they both grew up in interior villages. Five of their children go to Fairbanks schools. Now, more than ever, he says Alaska Native students need a good education.
Because computers is coming out and a lot of things. I mean, it's all I am is a laborer, and that's all I can be because I ain't got very good education. So that just leaves me hanging. So my kids are important. They gotta grow up in this world and they gotta live in this world in computers and everything that we never seen and, you know, dealt with.
David says taking the time to work with teachers can make a difference.
We just talk about how they do in school and how they're doing, where they're failing, and how to better it. And we try to at least help, you know, here in the home as well as in school, because we're not, me as a parent, we're not going to always be here, but at least I can try to help my kids to better themselves in some way.
Reporting for KUAC News, I'm Nellie Moore. In Fairbanks, I'm Nellie Moore. In 3, 2, 1. First Sergeant Mike Tanner with the Alaska State Troopers says the majority of holiday arrests were for driving while intoxicated. Tanner says between Christmas and New Year's Eve, there were 27 DWIs. The number is higher than he wanted it to be, especially with all the publicity given to sobriety checkpoints in the Anchorage area. Of the 350 sobriety checks made there on New Year's Eve, only one DWI was picked up. But in Fairbanks, where no sobriety checks were made on New Year's Eve, there were 10 DWIs. Tanner says over the two holidays, there were also 17 arrests for other driver's license violations and 12 domestic violence cases. For KUAC, I'm Nellie Moore.